God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created our world, he didn't snap his fingers and he didn't wink his eye. Lord spoke. Lord said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. The news cycle game, we talk about that a bit here. It's a magical game. And if you've ever worked in public relations or politics, there's this dance. And the dance is this. If you have good news, you want to put legs under it. So you try to extend this story. You create a story wheel, it's called. So you would take, for instance, let's say that you're working in a White House where the job numbers are up. And you know, our employment numbers, it's a farce. And it's meant to be a farce. Both sides play with this. It's a ridiculous measurement because it's falsified. In any case, if you get these good falsified numbers and you want to push this out, you'll take a story wheel approach. So here's coming up, you would bracket the news. We're anticipating really good numbers. And you start to whisper this into the ears of reporters. And you might get an exclusive with some of our people to talk about the great numbers. And then when the numbers come out, now by story wheel, you've contacted donors and people in business who are willing to step up and say, oh yeah, it's a fantastic economy and what we're seeing. And this is just due to the leadership of. You extend that further if you can by having individuals. And this is called POS. I know that there's a rude phrase, POS, that describes people, but this actually means persons on the street. So you go get some carefully crafted interviews of, oh yeah, things are better. And then you come back with why. So you bracket it. Now, if you have bad news, sometimes you duck and cover. And you just wait for the room to lose oxygen. You just wait for the story to lose oxygen. You don't feed it. You don't respond. Do nothing to feed the news cycle. And you just let it expire. It's a rope-a-dope thing. Like back in the days of Muhammad Ali in boxing, rope-a-dope was Muhammad Ali decided to tire an opponent who was a monster of a puncher, delivered heavy, heavy loads. And Ali had trouble with this fighter the first time around. And second time around, he rope-a-doped him. Just went and he practiced covering up. And hey, you know what, Joe, you hit me as hard as you want. I'm going to tire you out, then I'm going to come for you. So this works. And this is one of the reasons on this program that we refuse to give in to news cycle behavior. Because these guys play this game. I've noticed on Fox News and others that push pharma that they've begun talking about now that we have warning signs, uncomfortable signals. They're pushing this respiratory illness in China. And there's a lot of reasons to be suspect of this. I mean, we should have respect for people who are sick and we should understand that it's scary for people. But we should also understand that we are once again back into a cycle where they intend to push this stuff as hard as they can. This was on Fox News the other morning. Worrying trend. Hospital visits climbing in Washington, D.C. as respiratory illness fears rise across the globe. They're rising. No, they're not. You want them to rise. And in China, there's a lot of reasons that you might see kids getting sick more than usual. They didn't use the modified RNA injections. China wouldn't allow the RNA into their country. So they refused to put that into their citizens. But they did lock down. They did force masks. You have a generation of kids who did not develop crossover immunities. Therefore, they are going to have weaker immune systems. They did not develop a robust immune system because they were locked away from having contact with what would otherwise be some harmless viruses, because at their young age, their immune systems are at the most potent level because it's been passed on from mom. They didn't get that. So it would be one consequence of that. You'd have kids who can more easily get sick. In the United States, you have a whole bunch of people whose immune systems have been destroyed by the modified RNA injections. And kids whose immune systems were deeply compromised by the lockdowns. So when we see news like this, it's up to us to understand the economics behind it. The economics behind it are Americans have stopped taking vaccines, all of them. Now, that doesn't mean all Americans have stopped taking all vaccines, but the trust in this stuff is way, way down. And thank God, thank you, Lord Almighty, for this. Because of what we've learned about what pharma is willing to do, every single aspect of health in this country should be viewed suspiciously. And we are the ones who have to screen it initially. And it starts for me with, what are they trying to do? Are these people operating in the fruit of the Spirit? Are they truth tellers? Are they seeking self-aggrandizement? Or are they gentle and peaceful and loving and patient? Are they kind or do they boast? Do they try to stir up fear and emotion? Yeah, that's exactly what articles like that in Fox News do. And there are people who, first time around, didn't get enough, so they want more. Bill Gates is one of those guys.
We all want to return to the way things were before COVID-19. But there's one area where I hope we never go back, our complacency about pandemics. We can get ahead of infectious disease outbreaks. By the next pandemic, I believe we can have what I call mega testing diagnostic platforms. They can be deployed quickly, cost very little, and test 20% of the entire population every week. We also want to get treatments out far faster next time. One of the most promising is monoclonal antibodies. These manufactured antibodies grab onto the virus and disable it, just like your immune system, and can reduce death rates by as much as 80%.
Gosh, does any of that sound familiar? Now, monoclonal antibodies can be a great solution. But did you hear the part about just like your immune system? Right. Your immune system isn't something for which you pay. But there's something else Gates said. Testing 20% of the population every week? For what? And how? I'm not interested in having any reemergence of PCR testing. You shouldn't be either, because that cannot spot viruses. You can't tell the difference between a cold you had 15 years ago and something current in your body, particularly when they overuse it. We have to be cautious and understand the setup. And the setup is coming from the same people who want to limit our ability to go outdoors, to stay in 15-minute cities. It's coming from them. It's the same approach that Bill Gates talks about, just with a different scare word. And in this case, the scare word is climate. This is the father of Boris Johnson. You remember UK politician Stanley Johnson?
Well, you see it. I travel around the world the whole time. And you can just see the effects of it. The floods, the drought, the melting of the glaciers. So it actually means that countries need to divvy up this carbon budget between them. And then they need to divvy up the sectors. And then they need to have the measures which deal sector by sector with getting the... And if that means actually some of us are told, well, you can't go on a plane, that's fine. That's part of the national plan.
So, just compare. The fear here is, of course, the weather is destroying the planet. The data says otherwise. Simply look back at the Renaissance period. Some of the warmest temperatures ever, no carbon dioxide producing engines, no carbon induction systems, none of that. It was in a non-industrialized society. It's the same scare, it's the same approach. We're going to need to compromise some freedoms. We're going to need to test you 20% of the population every week. How do you get that done if it's other than voluntary? I'm not going to go get tested for a respiratory virus. If I don't feel sick, I'm not getting tested, nor should you if you don't feel sick. Asymptomatic transmission has never been a factor in spreading a virus, ever. even with COVID. Never. Fauci admits this. The weather is not destroying the planet. I refuse to give in to anything that is designed to induce fear, particularly when it runs counter to God's design for our bodies. Bill Gates says the monoclonal antibodies could be a great solution. Yes, if someone's immune system isn't working. It might well be. But most of our immune systems work just fine, and we can make them work better with vitamin D and exercise and vitamin Z and zinc and eating well. I prefer that path. Same thing with the climate. If human beings are contributing to global warming, and we contribute to whatever happens in the environment, we're a big source of that. If we were causing that warming, is it really government force that's necessary, or could we plant a bunch of trees? Of course, we could plant a bunch of trees. But in the eyes of people who want control, not solutions, why plant trees when you can have the happy side effect of creating a marketplace for what we exhale? And that is exactly what they're doing with carbon taxes. This is something you now have to buy. You have to pay money to be able to exhale. They're using the same approach with always-on forced migration. This is an older clip. It's 2020. This was at a Cyber Polygon event. It's the former Prime Minister of the UK, Tony Blair. In this case, Tony Blair notices, wow, mass migration's become a problem. He talks about a digital ID. He talks about all the safety measures and ties it back to migration.
So your digital ID can play a part in COVID, but also if you think of the transactions that you want to do now with your customers, it's much simpler for them if they have a digital identity. Or you take the big issue in the Western world today, which is, you know, quite apart from COVID, I would say is worries about immigration, who has the right to be in your country, who has the right not to be. Without a form of identity, it's very hard to tell who's got a right to be in a country, who's not. So inevitably, governments are going to move in this direction. Absolutely inevitably.
Inevitably. Big fan of freedom. Remember that he was a big, big conservative and a big partner with President Bush, President George W. Bush. And look, I don't think President Bush is an all-evil person. I don't know that he's evil. I think he's compromised. I think he uses politics for self-gain, and most politicians do. He's right on some things. President Bush did some very good things for Africa. He's got a very, very, very solid and good heart for wounded warriors. I've seen this in person. So I just want to be fair. But what Blair says is, oh, look, we've had all this migration. Oh, look, we have no solution but to limit your freedom. In the case of the climate, oh, look, we've got the weather's destroying the world. We have no solution but to limit your freedom. Oh, look, there's a very, very scary virus. Fox News is telling us, stay in front of the TV, keep looking at it, keep staring, and be very, very afraid. Forget the fact that wintertime is always when upper respiratory viruses, and in fact, respiratory viruses thrive, always happens in winter, always. Forget that fact. Toss aside the fact that we've destroyed a bunch of people's immune systems. Just be afraid. Oh, and by the way, Bill Gates says, we might have to limit your freedom. Now, he doesn't say forced testing, but just go back and look at the patterns. I remember when they told me when I was doing radio in Seattle, I have nothing disparaging to say about the company. It's great, great treatment. And they told me, well, if you're not going to get injected, you have to get tested. And when I looked the doctor in the eye who was proposing that, I said, what cycle rate are you going to use in the PCR test? The look in his eye told me everything. This guy knows too much. We'll come back on A Disciple's View with a fascinating discussion I had with a guy who's bringing people to Jesus using CrossFit and performing a deliverance ministry. This is A Disciple's View. Really appreciate you listening to AFR. And for those of you who found it in your hearts and budgets, to be honest, there's not everyone can do it. For the financial support, you make us really difficult to cancel. And there's a lot of us here that the party and others would love to see canceled. But 184 FM stations that this network gets to steward, it's because of you. So I just want to thank you for that. Welcome to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. People kept telling me, you got to meet Robbie. I live in North Idaho, and I probably three or four people said, you know, have you met Robbie? Hey, have you heard about this CrossFit gym that's donation-based? That there's no fee. It's a mobile gym. It goes around, and during the summer, this fantastic place to work out outdoors, Idaho. And I love CrossFit. It's my sport of choice. CrossFit is my hunting and my travel and my chess and my RV buying and my man cave. It's I don't do those other things because there's so much for me personally in the sport. So people kept saying, you got to meet Robbie. And eventually someone set this up. And Robbie is a guy named Robbie Walden. And Robbie's had a pretty amazing life. He was a very elite athlete, elite wrestler, elite weightlifter. He had a career in country music that was very successful. He was in the army, and in a recon unit, got shot, and served honorably, and discharged honorably. He was a man of the flesh, and he'll tell you that he was a man of the flesh. He was abused sexually and physically brutally by his birth father, was adopted by another family, and finally came to the Lord Jesus. And like a warrior, because at heart, God has made him a warrior, he entered into the ministry, dropped country music, dropped these other things. God put on his heart to start this CrossFit gym, which is in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And it is, in fact, free. And they have men and women who can't afford a gym come in and they get to work out for free. But it begins with the Word of God and a mini sermon or a devotional. And then it gets into the workouts. And what Robbie's found is there are pastors and others who go to the gym and they pay, they donate. But even pastors have found in that state of physical exhaustion that they're pushed through CrossFit, and it can really do that to you, that they're having spiritual awakenings as they think about the sermon during the classes. Robbie does something else of which I have deep concerns about deliverance ministries being misused, people using them to become stars or sensationalizing, putting too much focus on Satan. If we are in the Lord Jesus and abide with him and walk with him, we have nothing to fear from them. We need to be careful, but we have nothing to fear. I don't get that take from Robbie Walden, who is in fact also a deliverance minister. And I talked to him about what exactly is deliverance, and just tell us about that.
This was my very first episode, if you will, with the demonic. I was new to the faith, per se, in the essence that I'd given my life in full. My wife and I were not living for Christ. We met when I was on tour. Both of us divorced. Both of us have two daughters each, so we have four altogether now. My oldest stepdaughter, she comes to the house crying hysterically and saying she's being attacked by a demon at her dad's house. And I'm like, what? So I go there to her real father's house, and sirs, I'm kidding you not, the door is just slamming, bah, 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 open and closing, and there's this screaming going on in the house. And so I take her, I'm like, let's go. Both my grandpas were pastors, so I call my grandpa, tell him what's going on. And he knows that I've recently given my life to the Lord, like in full, like done playing around, like, Lord, I want all of you. And that's a whole nother part of my testimony and story. But, and so it kind of gives me some, homework to do. So I anoint some oil, and then I go to the prayer closet and I start praying for the Lord. I'm like, Lord, I said, Lord, I need you. Holy Spirit, fill me now. I need the baptism of fire, the Holy Spirit, whatever that is. I didn't even know what it was. And this just power came. I don't even know how to explain it, but came over me. And next thing you know, I started speaking in tongue. And I've never, I don't This is completely new to me in this moment. And then I just felt invincible. And all I could think about was protecting my stepdaughter. And so I anointed oil, went to her father's house. I prayed over every window, every door in the house, went into his master bedroom and in a closet and bathroom where that's at. I went into the closet and there it is. I don't see the demonic. I don't see it, but it goes pitch black on me and the clothes are moving and is there things are being thrown and just this screaming and yelling and then hitting and the wall. And I just start casting it out in the name of Jesus Christ. And I plead the blood of Christ and command it with all authority to leave my daughter alone. I take authority over her in this household and I go to battle with it and it gets louder and then I get louder and then it gets more aggressive. And I just raised with it. And I just matched. I'm a warrior, you know, by spirit. And so all I could think about was warring for my daughter. And I knew in my heart, it was not me. It was the Lord. Right? I knew that I had no power in this room if it weren't for Jesus Christ and his blood. So, and that's just the position I stood on. And next thing I know, it's like it goes from pitch black to this brightness. And I don't know how to explain it other than it was like bright, this radiant light around me. And then all of a sudden, simmered down and there was just the sunlight coming through the bedroom bathroom window into the closet on me, and she never got messed with ever again. And here's what was crazy with it, and I look back now, I needed deliverance, and yet God was still using me in the deliverance field. That's how good his grace is.
This is one of the things I'm really cautious of, and you're hearing the voice of Robbie Walden, who runs a group called Christ Fit. It's a free gym. It's donation based. He's bringing people in and offering the gym in exchange for hearing the word of God. And there are people who pay to go there. It's actually a very nice gym. And Robbie's a skilled teacher, a skilled coach. I really get nervous around, and I told Robbie this, and you can hear the whole interview at thetoddhermanshow.com. I'd love to hear your judgment of this. You subscribe to my podcast. It's called The Todd Herman Show. You can get The Todd Herman Show at Apple iTunes. You get it at Spotify. And I questioned Robbie about this. I told him up front. One of my very big concerns is anyone who says, I have the magic potion. And so who delivers you? And we had that conversation. And I faced that head on. I really have a worry about deliverance ministries being overused. I'm someone who's never encountered tongues. And I don't know that I have a solid understanding of to what degree they exist. Now, I know there's people who experience that. But I'm just being open with you. I just want you to know where I sit in this. So Robbie also makes a clear delineation between people who need healing versus people who need deliverance. And given his background as someone who was sexually and physically abused, I guess that's really solid that he makes that delineation. But he also talks about you being a product of war.
If someone needs healing, they need healing, right? If they need deliverance, they need deliverance.
Okay.
And it's important to keep that in perspective, because yeah, there are some with lack of understanding probably out there who are just chasing it and pushing it. And I think that comes with anytime something is starting to become fresh or new per se, right? Even though it's not new to God, but we have abandoned, and the Eastern cultures, they've been doing this forever.
Yeah.
Right. Go to the underground Chinese church, for example, go over India and Africa. They are walking in the spirit and the gifts and talents in ways the Western world has yet to even scratch the surface of. And I think a lot of that has to do with because we fancy ourselves theologians, right? And chasers of knowledge. And those can be great things, and those are not necessarily bad things, but we also have to be careful because the Pharisees knew the word inside and out, right? And we can boast in ourselves at that point too much. But you can also boast yourself in the gifts and talents and start getting a little cocky or boastful and forgetting that the power is in Christ, right? It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So it's all him. So again, I say that so we have an understanding that not everything's a demon and not everything needs deliverance. Now, I will say a huge portion of the Christian church, I believe, needs deliverance. And why would I also say that? Because deliverance should also be a continuance, just like repentance. And here's a prime example. My wife and I have been delivered. Once my wife and I delivered, I'm going to tell you right now, we never fight. Never fight. Hmm. It's like we had new lenses to see spiritually. And I'll explain more in a short little minute here. But then this happened. This was actually a couple months ago or whatever it was. I kept getting in the car. And I would drive, and as soon as I turned out, I would have this vision of me getting hit, T-boned, and dying. And then I'd have other visions of me dying other ways. Well, I was hanging up my 5-point bowl that I got this season. I was putting it on the wall and I was crawling up the ladder. And then I had this vision that I fell down on it and died. And I just got ticked. I was like, all right, enough of this. So I started rebuking it because I'm like, this is not my portion. I do not take this, you know. And then I called one of my buddies. And well, first I told my wife, and she's like, babe, I've been having the same dreams or the same, and especially about the car. And earlier in the week, I had gotten a dream and a word from the Lord about the spirit of death. And so somehow, somewhere along the way, I don't know where, but I got the spirit of death was put upon us. And so we prayed it off and haven't ever since. We rebuked it, renounced it. And so it's a simple thing right there. And here's an example. I'll use war. I had a lot of battles under my belt, but I didn't come out unscathed. It's impossible to go to war and come back without some sort of repercussions, physically or mentally or both, right? That's the world. The world is Satan's, not the kingdom of heaven, right? And we're in any war, whether we want to realize it or not. And you are a product of war between Satan and God, right? And we're collateral in it, and we're out, and like, as Jesus says, you're either for me or against me. And the Word of God tells us that we're either going to have to choose the father of lies or the father of creation.
That really resonated with me, that part about a product of war, because I meet so many traumatized people who've been traumatized by what this world has done, and they seek Idaho as a refuge. It's the voice of Robbie Walden. He's a deliverance pastor, also runs an organization called Christ Fit. There's Christ Fits around the country. His is in North Idaho, a donation-based gym. People who couldn't afford a gym otherwise come in, and they get to hear the Word of God. Then they get a free workout. There are people who pay to go there. He's also a deliverance pastor, which is the topic of this conversation. He addressed people like me who've had doubts about this.
People can listening might doubt this, and I pray that they get new eyes to see and new ears to hear, because I was like that once. I completely wanted to disregard this. God forced me into this. God plunged my wife into it and I into this, where we have no choice but to be obedient. And all it's done is solidify my faith in the Word of God and these things, because I'm watching it. I'm a part of it, and I'm actively seeing God work in this, that there is no way I could stand here and deny this. Do I have all the understanding? No. Do I get everything, even sometimes what I'm doing? No. That's just God's grace and mercy working through me. And then prophetically, when you get to be a part of these things, it blows your mind. One guy said this to me once, that I was a part of his deliverance. And then afterwards he said, it's crazy until it happens.
Yeah.
It's crazy until it happens. Yeah. He didn't believe in it. Right. And what ends up happening is something I always say too: Holy Ghost, don't lie. When we get into a deliverance setting, the Lord ministers to us, gives us prophetic visions and words, this is how we treat it. It's like an investigation. We ask Him what's going on in our life first. Then we use that, and plus the Holy Spirit's ministering, and we dissect the problem and go down all the way down to childhood. And forgiveness, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the most dangerous things, unforgiveness that is, dangerous things in your walk. It opens the door to the demonic. Christ commands that we forgive, right? 77 times 7, basically an astronomical number. We are called to forgive as He has forgiven us. And if you have unforgiveness in your heart, you are chaining yourself to a burden. It's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. So unforgiveness is a huge one. Then trauma and fear are big ones. Now, the Word of God tells us fear, it is a spirit. That's its actual name. Right? There is a spirit of fear, and we didn't get a spirit of fear. We got a spirit of sound mind, self-control, power, love, which are depending on which translation you're reading from. Right. So, but then there's actual demons they work for and under too. So they can all cross veins. Like there's Baal, there's Moloch, which I've dealt with in deliverance, Leviathan, the spirit of Antichrist. I had the spirit of Antichrist in me. My wife had the spirit of murder. And we can say this openly as our testimony, right? We overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And people need to know this is real, because the church, the Western world church, in my opinion, has abandoned some very important things of the Word of God, which is why the church in the Western world is not as productive as we think we are. And we're all living in oppression, thinking that this is the best that we have, right? And I'm homesick for a place I've never been before.
Same.
At the I am walking so much more empowered than I ever was before, all because I have a deeper understanding now of the Word of God. And I pray He continues to give me more understanding and more clarity on the Word of God, because
amen.
Scratching the surface, in my opinion.
Amen. So the whole interview with Robbie Walden, whose voice you just heard, is available at thetoddhermanshow.com. And I would, because of AFR and how God has used this network to amass such a great body of believers, I really would love your feedback on this. I don't have any doubt, and I hope you don't, that Satan is very real and has very real goals for us and has become pure evil. I don't have any doubt that he runs a military-like organization with captains of tens and captains then of hundreds and thousands, and that he draws battle plans, and that he is a planner and a schemer and a long-term thinker. He's lost, and it's a great mystery to me that he's able to delude himself into thinking he's not lost. And I would just like your feedback on this entire topic of Deliverance Ministries. And if you're a Deliverance pastor, I'd love to hear from you. And if you're a pastor who is concerned about Deliverance Ministries, get in touch with me. I'd just like to start a dialogue on this. We'll come back with the Tower of Babbling. This is The Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. There are people rising up, and I believe that we can see rising up in the secular political sense, and I believe it can be motivated by the Word of God. I don't think people even sometimes recognize that. Welcome to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. This has gone on now in, well, multiple countries. Geert Wilders, the Dutch politician, now has built this massive coalition leadership. It's their democratic system. And he's the guy who's going to represent the interest of ranchers and farmers who were told you will be banned from ever working and ranching again if you refuse to buckle down and destroy your livestock. Not sell it, not eat it, not use it to feed people, not even use it to feed dogs. You have to destroy it and get out of the business. And it's very clear what they're doing. They want agri fake meat production to take its place. They want patented foods. They want us to have to license manna from them. It's very clear to me that that's the kill shoots approach they're using. A kill shoot is a ranching term. You run cattle into a great big huge wide funnel that ends in a kill shoot. In this case, they want to run the food supply into this kill shoot where we just eat plastic meat, which is just utterly horrible for you. And there are people rising up. Geert Wilders now has this governing coalition. And a guy named Javier Milei in Argentina has, well, risen up. Now, I'm not here to say that he's a godly man. I don't know that. But I know that the need to have freedom and responsibility is something God puts into us. So before we get to the Tower of Babbling, which is the exact opposite of this, I wanted you to hear a statement he made just after being elected. He is an economist. Listen to this, and what would it be like to have politicians like this actually running our country? And perhaps this guy's going to turn out to be a bad guy. I don't know. I don't put my trust in man. But what a statement. It's in Portuguese, so my producer Alex has offered me a translation to read. We aren't above the ones we represent. In financial terms, the derivative is never worth more than the underlying asset. The derivative exists because the underlying asset exists. We exist as representatives of the people because the people exist. It's madness, it's delusional to think that a representative of the people is above the people themselves. It's a delusion in which the political caste lives. In our government, the politicians will have the same privileges that common citizens have. They will have to internalize their externalities. They'll have to internalize their externalities. If they screw up, not only will honest Argentines suffer the consequences, the politicians are going to suffer even more. They will have to live like the honest Argentines live. Their privileges are over. The party is over. This is simply an only an outsider can achieve. One guy who comes from outside can do it. And not just any kind of outsider, because history is full of outsiders who get into pre-existing structures. We are outsiders because we are outsiders without a pre-existing structure. We built for this. For what for? To kick their blanks out. The party is over. Privileges for politicians are over. It's over. A different Argentina is possible with the same old people. Enough with this. The party is over. And he goes on to talk about freedom in a real sense and freedom from tyranny in a real sense. And to recognize it in those terms, if we go right back to what he said, the derivative is never worth more than the underlying asset. The derivative exists. Derivative exists because the underlying asset exists. We can never be worth more than God. Satan can never be more powerful than God. He and we are derivatives. I may be reading too much into this. I don't think he intends it in any spiritual means at all. I'm excited to see people pushing back against that which is so very clearly driven by coveting. And worse, it's murderous. And it's global. So praise God for showing us this and making it possible. Now, let's do what we can to bring leaders like that to God Almighty, so that they can, in fact, fight for the kingdom of heaven. On Disciples View, the last segment, we do a couple things. We go through the Tower of Babbling, which is our way of recognizing God and his brilliant sense of humor, because God, in fact, invented humor. We also try to wrap up each show with a little bit of a personal observation. The Tower of Babbling is this. We thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand, with this feature that we call the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
So speaking of tyrants... This is the dictator of Canada, Justin Trudeau, and please, please, oh, pray on our knees for the country of Canada. It really needs us.
...of a right-wing, American MAGA-influenced thinking that has made Canadian conservatives, who used to be among the strongest defenders of Ukraine, and I'll admit it, turn their backs on something Ukraine needs in its hour of need. That is the danger of the rise of the right-wing influence that is feeling its impact in Canada. That's what not just Ukrainian Canadians, but all Canadians should be concerned about when the Conservative Party of Canada and Pierre Poilievre turn their backs on history, turn their backs on our friends and allies, turns our back, their backs on the international rules-based order and our support for the UN Charter and territorial integrity. It is of real concern and should be of concern to all of us, because we're seeing that spiking up all around the world.
Huh. So if you have concerns about the West funding both sides of a war in Israel and Iran, well, then you have wrong think. And if you have questions about why we are pouring hundreds of billions of dollars into a corrupt country that is not a democracy, that is, in fact, run like a dictatorship, that is, in fact, seizing media, that is, in fact, shutting down churches and shutting down opposition parties, that did, in fact, have biolabs over there that was funded by the likes of Hunter Biden, that has this strange habit of hiring the sons and daughters of U.S. politicians for jobs for which they're not qualified. You're weird. You're a mega extremist. Oh, and for Justin Trudeau, a champion of open borders and an avowed graduate of the World Economic Forum Klaus Schwab's School for Modern Tyrants, for him to talk about territorial integrity, well, that's just funny. That's the first sound clip of today's Tower Babbling. The assistant dictator in Canada. This lady, she's making a run. She might replace Trudeau as my favorite dictator. Her name is Chrystia Freelander, or Freeland. We just talked about her yesterday. What a last name for a woman like this. She has concerns about what she calls capitalism.
Our time of tranquility is over. And we are living in an age of change. We're living through what President Biden, on a visit to my country in March, called an inflection point, a time of transformation, he said, that comes once every 5 or 6 generations. Now, like it or not, you are graduating into that inflection point. What is this inflection point? What is this upheaval which is going to the roots of humanity itself? There are many ways to describe this transformational moment, but I think they all come down to one fundamental question. Does capitalist democracy still work? That's the question being posed around kitchen tables in my country and this one. As parents wonder if our children can count on capitalist democracy's essential promise of a future more prosperous than our present, it is the question being posed by our shrinking glaciers and our warming oceans, which are asking us, wordlessly but emphatically, if democratic societies can rise to the existential challenge of climate change.
Now, this is a woman who, of course, wanted bank accounts seized for free speech. This is a woman who, of course, wanted people tossed in jail for not getting injected. This is a woman whose government puts a father in a prison cell because he refused to pretend that his daughter is a boy. Fact of the matter is, she doesn't understand what democracy is, or she's a liar. Normally, it's 3 sound bites that we do in the Tower of Babbling, but today, this was just too good, and I'll be the sound bite. It's from the American Red Cross. They're right. This is recent. This is just from September. We don't label blood products as containing vaccinated or unvaccinated blood, as the COVID-19 vaccine does not enter the bloodstream and poses no safety risks to the recipient. If you have safety concerns about potential blood transfusions, please ask. Please speak with your medical care team. No, it doesn't stay in the bloodstream. The nanolipid particles in which the gene sequencing device is wrapped exists to make sure it can go and does go everywhere in the body. Of course it's in the bloodstream. There's no risks. Even the CDC admits, their own numbers show, that the adverse events from these gene sequencing devices are tens of thousands of more than all other vaccines combined. Not that these are vaccines, because they're not. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time. And I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
I am getting so much from being involved in youth ministry. There's a very evil technique that practitioners of social work and therapy in the separate countries of Washington State and Oregon practice. It's called reparenting. And I'm getting so much out of my being reparented. No, truly. The evil practice of reparenting is where an activist, social worker, or therapist seizes a child, or in the separate countries of California and Washington, kids from around the country, If they can get to those states, they can have themselves kidnapped. They can walk into a school or a Planned Parenthood clinic or a community organizing organization or a homeless shelter. They can walk in and say, my parents want me to pretend to be a boy. Well, you are a boy. But in the separate country of Washington and in California, those are the magic words. Or, I want to have an abortion. Or, I'm same-sex attracted and my parents want me to pray about it. That's it. Kids are gone. They are sent often to reparenting families. They're called glitter families. And they will undo everything that the parents have done in quick order. It's brainwashing. So as I've been involved in youth ministry and now attending the youth sermons and the whole night, the whole youth events, you were there to help lead young men into how to become godly young men. Number one, it's so meaningful for me to see young men lean into these conversations and in fact want to devour the information on how to be godly men. These young guys are not blind to the world they're going to operate in. They're not blind to the fact that they're going to need to find godly wives. And to find and deserve a godly wife, they're going to have to be godly men. But for me, sitting there as a man in my mid-50s, hearing youth pastors who are far younger than me deliver the words to these young men, I find myself getting so much from the process. One of our pastors, Chris, just delivered with Sarah, a woman at the church who joined him on stage. He taught. She added color commentary, and in fact, very important commentary. She's a woman. They talked about biblical womanhood and the beauty of God's plan and description of helper. Chris pointed out that in calling woman to helper, the Lord uses the same word he uses for himself. So as we are to submit to one another, and as man is to love his wife like Jesus Christ loved and loves the church, and women are to submit to their husbands, it's in being a helper. Man to serve as a servant leader like Jesus Christ, who, yes, was the leader and the boss and washed feet. And women as a special helper in a way that God described himself. Absolutely beautiful. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Until God allows us to speak again. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples' View.